One of the girls in my art class, her boyfriend had a band, and they had a gig at a girls' Catholic high school. This would be like 1965.
Okay.
Just after the dinosaurs. And I played saxophone in this band. We read charts. It was like dance band music, like, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that stuff.
Okay.
But at the end of the night, he handed me $80, and my eyes went wide, like, whoa.
Wow, $80 for your first gig.
That was a lot of money. I went, heck with art, I'm going for music. This is where it's at.
It paid off.
Yeah, and then it turned out Dave had a rock band that he was starting, and they needed a bass player. So then I pestered my mom to, for $100 to go buy a bass guitar, and ordered my Sears and Roebuck catalog bass amp, the Silvertone amp, and okay. I was off to the races. And that got me into rock and roll. First band that was popular was called the Tree Stumps, and we were managed by the Belkin Brothers. That got us to open for The Who, and we opened for The Cream.
Wow.
And, my hair was down to the middle of my back, and I weighed a lot less than I do now, and I thought I was going to be a rock star. That put me into another phase where I started a music shop, set of violins and drums. We had tape recorders and synthesizers. One of the bands I had in Cleveland was called Braino. And I was sort of the Pink Floyd of Cleveland at the time. I was already in Quadraphonic. Our sound guy had tape cues. We had echoes and all this other stuff. And in a local club we played in called the Smiling Dogs, one of the bands that came through was a band called Weather Report. And
right.
So because we were the house band, Brian Risner, who was our house sound guy, and I did the full number on Weather Report. We gave them echoes, put them in Quadraphonic, and they're going, who are these guys? Where did they come from? Brian was available. He went on the road with them. This would be like 1972, and they got to be about 76. They just put out Heavy Weather, and they had their hit, and they were going national. And so the synthesizer setup for Joe Zawinul got fairly complicated. Brian said, hey, why don't you come out and take care of Joe's keyboards? So I joined Weather Report as the keyboard tech. The oddest of circumstances that would get me into the movie business, this burly biker buddy of mine named Pax Lemon, now in Los Angeles, working at Paramount in a tape transfer.
Okay.
Where two guys are behind him talking about they need somebody who knows about synthesizers. So
okay.
He looks around and goes, oh, man, you got to talk to my buddy Alan, man. He knows all about synthesizers. He works for Weather Report. It turned out this was Richard Anderson and Stephen Flick, and they were the supervising sound editors. And the movie they were doing was Star Trek The Motion Picture.
I am a huge Trekkie. Oh, my gosh.
That was Star Trek was my very first movie.
Wow.
They asked me to make the sound of the Starship Enterprise going from Warp 1 to Warp 7. So I sat in my little dining room studio. I had a Prophet 5 synthesizer and a little 4-track tape recorder. I dialed up what I thought would be the sound, turned it in, and that became the sound of the Enterprise. Went on to do Star Trek 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the whole series of motion pictures, because I had the kit. So I was in charge of the Enterprise and the transporters and all this other stuff. Shaping now the sounds to each scene in the movie based on what was required. And that expanded into all kinds of other stuff. Well, the next thing is the picture editor from that first Star Trek, a fellow named Todd Ramsey, his next movie was Escape from New York. And I
yes.
made him aware of my musical skills and all this other stuff. And he liked me. He says, you know, Alan, I bet you and John Carpenter get along great. You know, why don't you meet him? Came over to my little dining room studio, which had now grown because of Star Trek with more tape recorders and synths and stuff like that. We sat there for about 3 hours and talked, and I played him music, and at the end of the meeting he goes, yeah, let's do it. So my very first film score was Escape from New York with John Carpenter, and here we are 40 some years later still doing it.
Wow, from humble beginnings, but you are a rock star now.
Yeah, about 85, 86, they came up with a thing called MIDI.
Right.
And so now you can push the key on one synth and play nine of it at the same time. So that was a huge expansion on the sound that you could make, especially for scoring. The apex of that is one of the scores I did with John Carpenter, A Big Trouble in Little China, which really was at the cutting edge of all these things, and I had to have the latest, greatest, coolest stuff.
I don't blame you. Like film scores, they are unique and they are instantly recognizable and they have their own unique sounds. You've done a lot of collaboration with John Carpenter's on They Live and Escape from New York, but let's not forget the Halloween movies from 2 onwards. Oh my gosh, so iconic. What was that whole process like, putting that together?
We're finishing up Escape from New York, and we're sitting there, and it's a mix. And he looks over and he goes, "Hey, listen, you know, my next movie is going to be The Thing, and I'm going to be really busy, and they want to make another Halloween. So you're going to do Halloween too." And so the baton was passed to me. Obviously, his Halloween score is iconic. It'll still last today. He's got the very famous theme he created. Dun, 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 dun. My instructions were to use his Halloween 1 score and now make Halloween 2 out of that.
Right.
So I went ahead, got the tape recording, the original 16 track. I transferred it to a 24 track, so I had extra tracks. I basically dubbed in all my synth textures and took the texture of the score from more simplistic piano score to a darker, heavier sort of goth synth score.
Yeah, you can hear that, because I love the little piano intro. It's so simple. What you've added to it makes it so much more atmospheric.
Yeah, and he was fine with that. Like, do your thing, man. I'm busy. Yeah.
Wow. And I believe, is this true? Is Dr. Dre a huge Halloween fan? Did you work with him?
Yeah, actually, he is a Halloween fan. I worked with him in the early 90s. He brought Snoop over. I worked on a couple videos with him. One was called Murder Was the Case. He brought over Warren G. I was the Halloween guy.
Exactly.
He thought it was cool. And my job for those videos was to, they have this little, I'll say, under a minute short movie intro before the tune starts. So
that's
I was in
right.
there to make the little movie that went with it. And he loved all that stuff.
Yeah.
Good guy, actually. Both
really?
Of them are really good guys.
I can't not mention Stranger Things. The way they've put it all together, it is literally like you are taken back to the 80s.
Well, they've openly said that they were inspired by the music that we did in the 80s. And then at the same time, this whole synth revival, the digital synths are what they are, but there's a revival of analog synths, obviously the vintage synths, and now the remakes of them. But there's just something about the analog world. There's discovery in those instruments. I had a great lunch with Brian Eno talking about producing. What he was saying is that when he produces a project, what he does is he actually limits the technology that the band is going to use. And he said that imitates what was the limitations of the earlier technology. And that drove the creative process. Makes sense to me.
As well as the sound effects for, like we said, we've talked about Star Trek, can't not mention Poltergeist. Can you just like explain for our listeners how you came up with Carol Ann's sound?
So this would be 1983. So I'm sitting in a room with Steven Spielberg and Michael Kahn and Frank Marshall, plus the whole sound effects crew. And we come to this point where we're talking about a sound effect for the little girl's voice for Carol Ann.
Okay.
And so in that movie, there's a certain part where Carol Ann is now in another dimension. She's no longer in the room. But in the scene, we're going to hear her voice from the other dimension, and the family's all going to react to it.
We're home, baby. We're home.
I look at Spielberg, and this is, eye to eye. It's like talking to the Pope or the president, the guy. And I go, well, Steven, what do you think? And he goes, I think it should be like Earth to Venus.
Okay.
And I'm, this is the guy giving you the, that's brilliant, great. And I write down Earth to Venus, and I had no idea what he's talking about. I got my notes, I go in the hallway, and I start to sweat. Like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. If I don't get this right, I'll never work in this town again. All this pressure on me.
So now
I go back to the studio, and it's like days later, and I was trying all kinds of stuff, and nothing was working. And I was in the car, driving my tapes back to Paramount to deliver some more sound effects for other parts of the show. And on the radio comes Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love. And then it's like, in the song, there's two breakdowns where the song stops and they go into sort of a psychedelic phase, sound effects and echoey things. And on Robert Plant's voice, there was what I'll call a pre-echo. And then even in the last Star Wars, there was a place where Ren is talking to the other guy mentally, exact same sound effect.
Wow.
So it sort of filled in the book of sound effects, international voice, reverse reverb, here's how you do it.
Well, you've also, moving away from films, you've got your latest work with Indigo Ra, is that right?
In my personality, I'm not only a horror guy.
You're quite eclectic.
So I was approached by a lady who was more spiritual. She had a project that she was trying to do a meditation CD. I then went into the tracks and created this I'll call it meditation music.
Okay.
And so that's the project Indigo Ra.
You know what, Alan? I could talk with you all day about this. I really could. Do you have any plans for any future concerts? Because I know you performed some of your compositions at the Hollywood Theatre in 2019.
Oh, absolutely. No, have someone over the pond there invite me. I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, you've got to come to Liverpool. You've got to come to Merseyside. We would love to have you here.
Yeah, so follow me on alanhowarth.com. All my information is there.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Alan. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.